From all outward appearances, the Soviet people responded calmly to the news that Nikita Khrushchev has been replaced. Most Muscovites learned of the changes in the Kremlin on their way to work today. All Soviet newspapers carried a brief announcement that Premier Khrushchev had requested retirement because of his age and poor health. If Muscovites were shocked or even surprised, they did not show it. One old Russian woman was overheard saying to a friend sarcastically, "And they say he retired because of his health and age." Whether Khrushchev's demise was due to his age and health, or because he could not hold the communist empire together, is not officially known. Western observers believe the latter to be the reason. Sam Jaffe, ABC, Moscow.
What's the Moscow change mean to the U.S.? George Watson has the report in Washington.
Washington officials quickly admit they do not know what will be the future course of U.S.-Soviet relations, but they suspect no radical change in Khrushchev's peaceful coexistence policy. At the same time, analysts here are convinced Khrushchev was ousted because of failures at home and abroad, not because of his age or health. Thus, changes are expected, especially in Russian relations with communist China. Washington was caught by surprise yesterday, like everyone else, but there was no alarm, no military alert, or crisis atmosphere. The official attitude is one of cautious waiting. The new Kremlin rulers are rated formidable adversaries, but not reckless men. George Watson, ABC, Washington.
President Johnson alluded to the Kremlin switch last night, saying changes in the world made stable leadership at home necessary. Senator Humphrey, too, had a comment on Khrushchev, as did Senator Goldwater, and he and Congressman Miller will comment further on it today. Now, the change in the British government is still not official, but all signs point to a Labour government for the first time in 13 years. And Bill Sheehan reports from London.
The big question that'll take a few more hours to answer is, how big will be the Labour majority in the new British government? Indications at the moment are Labour will have 15 to 20 seats more than the Conservatives. The clear majority, after figuring in Liberal strength, could be less than 10. This raises the question, how large must a majority be for a party to effectively govern? There are experts here who say as many as 30, and others who say as few as 10. On one point, there's no doubt, Labour Party leader Harold Wilson will give it a noble try with as few as 10, if it finally works out that way. Bill Sheehan, ABC, London.
The auto workers struck American Motors early today despite agreement on an economic package, and Isbell, no longer a hurricane, is hitting the coast of the Carolinas. Now a message from our sponsor.
Camel time. It's camel time, camel time.
It's pleasure time for you.
Camel time is any time when nothing less will do.
Things all seem to brighten up
every time you light one up. Right now, make it camel time. Have a camel cigarette.
The best tobacco makes the best smoke. Camel gives you easygoing taste, honest enjoyment, choice quality tobaccos. The exclusive Camel blend of costly tobaccos has never been equaled. The best tobacco makes the best smoke.
Right now, make it Camel time. Have a Camel cigarette. Right now, make it Camel time. Have a Camel cigarette.
This is news around the world.
This is Bob Hart in Detroit with the Morning Report. Early this morning, the tense silence of the American Motors Corporation press room at the Veterans Memorial Building was broken by an announcement from AMC Vice President Edward Cushman.
We have decided to break the news blackout long enough to announce that we have reached agreement on a progress-sharing plan. As you know, this was a key obstacle to reaching our total agreements between the American Motors Corporation and the UAW.
Agreement had been reached between AMC and the United Auto Workers Union on the issue of profit sharing, but that wasn't enough to avoid a strike by 26,000 AMC workers. Other issues still unresolved have brought a strike despite a closeness of agreement between the two sides. WXYZ News asked UAW negotiator Doug Fraser what the remaining issues are.
Transfer of operations clause, the demand for a transfer of operations clause, that at this moment is unresolved. And there are two economic matters on the big table, one dealing with inequities and one dealing with the agreement as it applies to the Grand Rapids appliance plant. And then all of the other issues are local in nature.
Even though agreement has been achieved on profit sharing, neither side reveals details on the specifics of the settlement. Asked by WXYZ News to do so, AMC's Cushman commented,
"We're not revealing the details of that agreement now because we're having our technicians check it in connection with all aspects of it."
WXYZ News then asked Cushman if he thinks it's possible to reach agreement in the next 24 hours when the parties resume bargaining at 9:30 today.
"Well, we are all intending to work as diligently as possible toward reaching agreement, but it's hard to tell. We do have all of these knotty problems. We have the union's alleged inequities, and I suppose they would call the inequities that we claim that we're demanding changes to rectify alleged also."
Edward Cushman of American Motors. There's another meeting scheduled this morning between the Detroit Newspaper Publishers Association and Local 10 of the Plate and Paper Handlers Union, one of the two labor unions on strike against the papers. While Local 10 spokesmen have agreed to resume meetings with the publishers, there still is no word from the union as to whether it accepts the publishers' new proposals for a speed-up in negotiations. Those proposals include binding arbitration if agreement doesn't come this weekend. As the publishers made the new procedures, Lawrence Wallace of the newspaper side told WXYZ News,
"In the public interest and the interest of the 4,100 employees of these newspapers and their readers and their advertisers, the news and the free press believe that acceptance of these stepped-up procedures will lead to an early end of the strike."
A possible legislative probe of the Michigan National Guard. That report coming up after this from Chevrolet.
Chevrolet's the beautiful shape for 65. With five beautiful shapes, great to look at, great to drive. Chevrolet's the beautiful shape for 65.
With five beautiful shapes to choose from, there's the aerodynamic design of the 65 Corvette Stingray.
Chevrolet's the beautiful shape.
The trim silhouette of the thrifty Chevy, too.
Chevrolet's the beautiful shape.
There's the distinctive smart size of the 65 Chevelle, the international flair of the all-new Corvair, and the new luxury of the 65 Chevrolet.
With five beautiful shapes, great to look at, great to drive. Chevrolet's the beautiful shape for 65.
State Senator Elmer Porter says today he's going to check with other members of the Legislative Audit Commission before deciding if the watchdog group will begin an investigation of the Michigan National Guard administrative situation. Campaigning as though he was the candidate instead of a mere supporter, former Vice President Richard Nixon barnstorms Michigan today, Detroit, and Lansing on his schedule. He'll campaign in favor of the National Republican ticket. Some 1,000 construction workers at the new Chrysler stamping plant now going up in suburban Warren have ended their brief strike. The weather for metropolitan Detroit, fair skies and mild temperatures today through tomorrow. High today, 76. Tonight's low, 45. Right now, the winds are from the north-northeast at 7 miles per hour, and the temperature in Detroit is 45 degrees. Chevrolet, now featuring the beautiful shapes for 65, has brought you the news. Bob Hart reporting from Michigan's largest radio news center. WXYZ, AM and FM, Detroit. Good morning, Bob Hart, WXYZ News. The morning report continues. American Motors Corporation has been struck by the UAW over non-economic and local-level issues, profit-sharing not included. Detroit's newspaper publishers meet a striking union team to talk disputed issues. Right now, the temperature 50 degrees. Now to Chicago and Paul Harvey.
Paul Harvey, news and comments. Brought to you by Bankers Life and Casualty Company, the Old Line Legal Reserve Stock Company in Chicago, offering the policies of the White Cross Plan. Now, Paul Harvey News.
Good morning, Americans. Moscow Khrushchev's successors promise no change in his policies. They promise continued peaceful coexistence with the West and a hard line toward Red China. But Khrushchev is all the way out, nobody praising his name, and all of his longtime friends in the Kremlin are being dismissed. This assumption is safest. The communist objective remains unchanged. Communism over God and Russia over the world. By whatever means. Very many Khrushchevs and Brezhnevs and Kosygins come and go, and and leave only shallow footprints, but each century is fortunate indeed if it can share the earth with even one, Cole Porter. Cole Porter is dead at 71. The last ailment was a complication following kidney surgery. He wrote his epitaph, Night and Day, Wunderbar, I Love Paris, Se Magnifica. Midst our modern mishmash music, when entertainment's ravenous appetite has necessitated emphasis on quantity rather than quality, the words and music we still remember best were his. Begin the Beguine, My Heart Belongs to Daddy, I've Got You Under My Skin, You'd Be So Nice to Come Home To, I Get a Kick Out of You. Cole Porter played the violin before he was six. He made rhymes as soon as he could talk. He suffered half a lifetime of tragedy and pain, but will haunt the earth forever. For though the song is ended, the melodies linger on in the still of the night. Page 2. I wish that I could visit you in your home today. I wish I could deliver to your door a copy of a little book that's on my desk called The Blue Book. Because, well, I'll tell you what's best. If you'll just drop me a postcard at Box 7196, Chicago, I'll see that you get a copy of this blue book, because there isn't any way for me to say it orally in the few seconds they allow me here. I want you to know about a kind of health insurance for which I nagged for more than 15 years, a kind that pays you if you don't get sick, pays you if you don't get hurt. As a matter of fact, this one pays you either way. It's a hospitalization policy that pays generous benefits if you end up in a hospital. But if you never do, if you just keep paying in year after year after year after, have you lost all that money? You have not. You've invested it. And when the policy matures, if you've never been sick or hurt, you're going to get the full face value of it back in cash. It can be thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars coming back to you. Heads you win, tails you win under this new kind of money-back insurance called the NC701 policy. At least read about it, will you please? All right. Now write to Paul Harvey at Box 7196, Chicago, and I'll stop nagging you about it. I'll just see that you get a copy of the Blue Book, which tells the whole story. Box 7196, Chicago. Sportlight. Hey, we're still steamrolling the Tokyo Olympics. More than twice as many gold medals as Russia. Paradox is proved in Tokyo. Not all men are created equal. Other than swimming, more than half of our medals so far have been won by our very unequal Negro athletes. What's left of Isbell is no longer a hurricane, just a nuisance in Morehead City, North Carolina, and thereabouts. Virginia will get whipped and get wet. Labor is still leading in the British vote count, but by a margin that's razor thin. Auto workers have a new national contract with American Motors, including the profit-sharing plan. Local level issues still to be negotiated. Washington President Johnson says he did not know that Walter Jenkins had been arrested on a morals charge involving other men in 1959. But here is a strange. Last month, Walter Jenkins sent a memo to all top government officials to tighten up on security procedures. That's right, it was Jenkins who advised them to be sure not to hire any undesirables. He said they might embarrass the administration. The nursery at Cumberland Hospital, Brooklyn, has been evacuated. A mysterious toxic agent has made 26 newborn babies ill, and they cannot trace it. The symptoms indicate lack of oxygen. Oh, yeah, one thing more. Republican Congressman John Rhodes of Arkansas offers his definition of an extremist. Congressman Rhodes says an extremist is anybody who wants to establish another television channel in Austin, Texas. Paul Harvey.
Good day.
Paul Harvey was presented today by Bankers Life and Casualty Company of Chicago. This is Bob Hart on WXYZ, AM and FM Detroit, with the Morning Report. There is a strike by the United Auto Workers Union against American Motor Corporation today. Announcement of the strike came at a news conference in the wee small hours of the morning at the Veterans Memorial Building, and WXYZ newsman Joe Vaughn was on hand.
A unique sort of news conference conducted earlier today at the Veterans Memorial Building in downtown Detroit. Aside from the hour, it was 1 o'clock, there was one other unique factor. It was called to announce both a strike by the United Auto Workers Union and at the same time settlement of the one big issue that led to the strike. American Motors Corporation has agreed to continue profit sharing as part of the national agreement with the UAW. But the agreement came too late to avert a walkout by 26,000 workers at the auto division in Wisconsin. Edward Cushman, AMC vice president, said before WXYZ microphones,
I don't want to discuss any more of the detail than we already have. We felt on both sides that we ought to break the news blackout for the purpose of letting you know that we have reached agreement on this key obstacle to reaching the further agreements. Unfortunately, during that period, when we were devoting our time to this, time ran out with respect to the other matters, and that's why we're currently on strike.
They'll be trying again early today to wrap up the remaining issues and get the AMC workers back on the job. Joe Vaughn, WXYZ News.
Discussion of issues in the prolonged Detroit newspaper strike will resume this morning between the Newspaper Publishers Association and Local 10 of the Plate and Paper Handlers Union. Neither Local 10 nor Local 13 of the Pressmen's Union have declared their positions on the latest publisher's suggestion that binding arbitration be employed if settlement is not reached this weekend. That proposal, in the words of spokesman Lawrence Wallace,
"We propose that the newspapers and the two unions engage in serious, intensive collective bargaining, commencing this Friday morning at 9 a.m. with the Paper Handlers Union and commencing Saturday morning at 9 a.m. with the Pressmen's Union. This bargaining would be conducted with only the newspapers and unions present. If, at the end of these 2 days, agreement on new contracts has not been reached, the parties shall submit to final and binding arbitration the propositions originally submitted by the parties to each other, covering issues upon which agreement has not been reached. The agreement for arbitration would also provide that the strike will be ended forthwith and that publication of the newspapers will be resumed."
Asked by WXYZ News whether or not acceptance by the unions of these proposals would bring a rapid end to the newspaper dispute, publisher spokesman Wallace commented,
"In the public interest and the interest of the 4,100 employees of these newspapers and their readers and their advertisers, the news and the free press believe that acceptance of these stepped-up procedures will lead to an early end of the strike."
Lawrence Wallace speaking for those who publish, or at least once upon a time published, the Detroit News and Free Press. A national figure highlights the Michigan political scene this day in the person of former Vice President Richard Nixon. A major portion of his campaign activities will be centered in Lansing, as is indicated in this late report from newsman Ralph Baum at the state capitol.
"Nixon, former vice president, is coming to Lansing today, confident he can increase the party's campaign tempo. The former vice president, who's reaching the midpoint of his month-long coast-to-coast campaign swing in behalf of the party's national ticket, will make 3 fundraising political talks in Michigan, here in Lansing, in Benton Harbor, and in Ishpeming during his 35-hour stay in the state. Nixon's expected to tell his Lansing audience that the American people on November 3rd will select Barry Goldwater as president, because he's a man of character, an honest man, and a man of great principle. Following his speech, the vice president will hold a brief press conference in Lansing. He'll then go directly to the Capital City Airport, where he'll meet with Governor George Romney." This is Ralph Baum reporting from Lansing.
In addition to Mr. Nixon, Republican Governor George Romney will be carrying the GOP campaign torch through southeastern Michigan metropolitan areas today. Democratic Congressman-at-Large and gubernatorial candidate Neil Stabler searches for votes in Governor Romney's home territory, Oakland County. The Michigan National Guard scandal of last week may blossom into the legislative investigation of next. State Republican Senator Elmer Porter has told WXYZ News he's going to confer with fellow members of the Legislative Audit Commission about the possibility of launching a probe into administration of the Guard, which was found to be somewhat amiss last week. Viewing the scandal and the subsequent dismissal of Major General Ronald McDonald, Senator Porter told WXYZ News,
"It appears to me from what the press has said that hanging a man without trial."
About 1,000 construction workers at the new Chrysler stamping plant, now under construction in suburban Sterling Township, have ended their brief strike and are going back to work. The weather for metropolitan Detroit: fair skies and mild temperatures today through tomorrow. High today, 76. Tonight's low, 45. Right now, the winds are from the east-northeast at 2 miles per hour, and the temperature in Detroit is 50 degrees.